Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yeah!
Oh, you've gone a bit Highland Fling there.
No, that was my country and western.
You're doing something weird with your wrists
Well, it's kind of one of those things that you've got to do. You've got to keep them flexible, your wrists, because you need them. Okay, here we are. Judith and Jenny, the two J's.
Oh, the two J's.
What can you smell in the cupboard
J
today?
J squared. Polish. Somebody has cleaned.
Somebody's been in.
I know. It really has made a difference, hasn't it? You've got nothing around your chair today.
They've sent in the cleaning imps.
You're going to have to set another trap for them.
Oh, I've got
today.
All I've got is a little snack box of raisins and nuts. I'll spit a few of those around.
Yes, do. Daisy, Daisy, our producer, has given those to us.
I pretended I was very massively allergic to nuts just to see what her face
That was
did.
So rotten of you, because she really believed it.
Yeah,
suddenly her career flashed in front of her.
Yeah.
She thought, you know, she's going to have to ring
Celebrity
the emergency
killers.
Services.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've tried to knock a few off in your time, haven't you?
Yeah, I have actually. Nearly succeeded as well. Stop that. I know what you're referring to. So, yes, we've got our nuts as a little reward. I'm looking at it as a little reward that I'm going to be allowed to open when we've done, you know, when we've done some decent stuff.
When we've done good work.
Yes.
Okay.
Tick.
Right, this is the podcast Older and Wider, coming to you from a cupboard in Kensal Rise. They tried to pretend it's Notting Hill. It's not. We have called this podcast, Judith, remind me, I've forgotten, what is it?
Older and Wider.
Yeah, but I know people keep saying older and wiser as if, you know, we're not comedians.
I know, exactly.
As if
they say, sorry, you haven't got it.
Yeah, older and wider.
I know.
But how old and how wide?
Are we?
Yeah.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, you can. Considering you're oldest. Age before beauty.
63, but 64 this year,
yeah,
Jenny. Like the song.
What song?
Well, when I'm 64, it would be what song? I mean, for God's sake.
Well, I'm that much younger. I mean, I don't
You are not so young, you don't know that song.
Well, I know the song, but I don't immediately go Beatle. I go more Basses Rollers, you see, when I'm thinking of my cultural references.
You're such an ageist show-off. You really are. You are speeding up behind me.
I can't
speed up. So bloody fast. You are.
No, I'm keeping pace. I'm always going to be 5 years younger. Always.
So are you actually going up a year this time, or are you sticking with the 58?
No, I'm going to be 59
I think
next
58
month.
For a long time.
You can bring in next week. Next time we do this,
okay.
Not next week, the week after. We only do it every 2 weeks. We can't afford the bus fare. every 2 weeks we're coming here. I'm going to bring out my passport.
To prove it?
Yeah, to prove it.
Yeah, okay, we don't need to go that
and
far.
A blood sample
yes.
and some urine.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, okay, so you're 58, so you are now... So this year you're going to be
59 next month.
And
yeah.
That is so close to the big 60.
Don't mind that. It's okay. Don't you worry about it. But how wide are we?
How wide? Well, what do you mean how wide? I've measured how wide I am.
Well,
but
sometimes, do you
wide.
Ever look at those signs where it goes unsuitable for wide vehicles? And you sometimes think, no, I might start beeping if I'm back in.
Yeah. No, yes, I know what you mean. I fill out a chair. I fill out a lot of things. Fill out my trousers.
Yeah.
Quite badly.
Sometimes you think, my bum is a size, you know, like a really big Labrador. You know those massive Labradors?
I do.
That sort of size. That's kind of, or a small chest of drawers. That's how wide I am.
Have you ever broken a loo seat with your wideness?
Well, I wouldn't like to blame myself entirely. I think I've contributed to the loosening. sometimes there's nothing worse, is there, where you sit on and it skids
awful.
To one side. And then you can also trap a butter, can't you?
Yes, I know. We've got
Judith isn't 100%. She's been travelling too much, and I think she's got a bit of Legionnaires.
Yes, yes. A wobbly loo seat is not good when you're particularly wide. I caught myself thinking the other day, loos are getting smaller.
They're getting younger. Toilets are getting smaller.
Because have you noticed that, particularly if you've got some shopping, you can't just go in and turn around. You have to do a sort of 3-point.
Not without beeping, you can't turn around. Me.
It's quite difficult, isn't it? And if there's nowhere to hang your shopping, because sometimes there isn't, and it's on the floor, you get really quite wedged in.
Yeah, I know. Trapped, isn't it? I always like that song, Three Old Ladies Trapped, Stuck in a Lavatory.
Stuck in a Lavatory, yes.
Love that. Anyway, I'm trying to find the gizmo on the side of this seat.
Send it down. You do this every single time, Jenny. Every single time.
Found it. Found the lever. I'm going down.
Going down.
I'm going... Oh.
Woo! Every time you do it, as well, we both do that. We both go, woo!
It's like getting on a camel. You can never get on a camel without going,
woo! Oh, do you know, I remember cutting together a sequence of that, of women of a middle age getting on camels, and it was just ridiculous because they'd get on and everybody knew.
What do you mean you were cutting a sequence?
Oh, well, you know, in Grumpy Old Holidays. We had a load of footage of it. And you could see the kind of camel handlers.
Yeah,
and
camel wranglers.
Yeah, the camel wranglers. And they're kind of waiting for it, you know, and they know what's going to happen and they know it's going to... So they literally that noise that you just made. Because they get on and they've got, you know, they're on their knees, the camel's on its knees, and then suddenly it tips forward and they all go, you know, wouldn't it be good to actually put a microphone on? Well, I could say you and I, but I don't know whether I'd actually have the guts to go on.
Of course, you'd go on a camel.
No, on a big dipper. No, that might be a bit much.
We're both fancy a camel ride, but we're not doing big dippers.
No. But maybe a chairlift. That might be quite fun.
Well, listen, if I get to an age where I go, when I'm on a chairlift, I mean, take me out into a field and shoot me.
Okay, well, I challenge you, Jenny Eclair. I challenge you. You and I are going to go on a chairlift or some, you know, like a little carousel or something like that.
I thought you were talking about a stanner in a house.
Of course I'm not. Don't be ridiculous. I'm not that bad. No, I think you and I should go on a little, not a big fairground ride, just a little fairground ride. A little one.
Teacups?
One queen, yeah, maybe the teacups. No, because that might
spinning
give me a dizzy
teacups.
That might give me a dizzy turn.
Set off your vertigo. Yeah. But talk about it.
But we could just, you know, we should just record it, I think.
Okay, I'm going on spinning teacups and I'm going to take my top off. You know, like people do when they're on that ride in Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Yeah.
And they always flash their tits as they go past the camera.
Well, I didn't really know that, but yes, okay.
I'm going to do that on spinning teacups.
Really?
Yeah, when they're going really slowly.
Just be a way of getting your nipples to stand out rather than pointing down for once, wouldn't it?
So I'm going to use centrifugal force to get them back
to get
up
them up to where they should be.
Got that one
interesting.
Sorted. Interesting. Right, so we are old, wide.
Yes.
And what else have we been up to? Have you got anything? Are we show and telling this week?
We are showing and telling. Should we do showing and telling first?
Shall I shut my eyes and you show me
Okay.
Sort of audio stuff because you can't see anything at all, but I've got my eyes shut in the cupboard,
right,
in the fragrant new polished cupboard, and I've got my hands
out.
Oh,
I see. You've got your hands out, right. Okay, so see, I'm putting
it in
your
hands. I've got something
that
I'm feeling
it.
Okay.
It's something that brings me joy, which I think...
Well, it's like a vibrator.
Well, it's a bloody thin vibrator, Jenny.
It's a stick. You shouldn't put this anywhere near you new. It's a cloven stick. I'm going to open my eyes. It's a stick.
No, oh, it's not a stick.
Oh, no. Oh, you see what Judith
just gave me. Have you seen what it is yet?
Yes, it's an extra large crochet hook.
But it's all... not.
Oh, what is it? It's a back scratcher.
Yes!
Judith has given me a very ugly stick. It's been carved slightly... Oh, God, it's one of Mike's, isn't it?
It's one of his African things, yeah, it is.
Yeah, you've taken this from his shed.
I have taken it from the shed, but I saw it the other day and I thought, yeah, I might have a go at that. I can't stop.
It's going down the back of my top.
Have a go with it. It's just like, I think I go into a bit of a trance.
Who needs Anne Summers?
Why have they gone out of fashion? And I think with the older population, we could make a lot of money if we went into business making those.
Well, especially if we made them a back scratcher stroke crochet hook.
Well,
there's a whole new market out there.
I really don't know where you're going with this crochet hook thing. You obviously don't crochet because, look, it's a non-starter, OK? Unless you've got a lot of football goals to make. I can't honestly see that taking off. But listen, a nice fashionable... What we need to do is we need to celebritise... Just made that word up. Back scratchers and actually launch one.
I'm already the face of Vandrasan. I don't know whether... I don't know whether they'll let me do.
I haven't tried to scratch my fanny with it, but it might be a bit.
No, it's a bit. That's a bit tougher.
Yeah.
Always use your fingers. Gently, gently, scratchy, scratchy. Not a great big wooden implement. Anyway, it's my show and tell time. I want you to shut your eyes.
Okay.
Yes, I've got them all here. Here
them all? There's more than one.
Yes. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, I'm a bit worried.
You're not
now,
having
you're
these, by the way. These
they're
are
not.
Just
it's not
show
not
and
alive,
tell. They're
it?
Mine. They've got. It's a tiny frog because it's spring. What I've done, I've been doing newt watch in my or tadpole watch. In my pond, which I haven't got, and I bought you live frog. Here it is.
I did the camel noise.
Yeah.
Can I open my
eyes? Yeah.
Oh.
Right, what is it?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, you've been knitting.
Yes.
I've got to put my glasses on to look at this.
Yes.
There are three examples of, oh, no
four.
More. Four examples of your knitting in sort of bright kind of turquoise. One which is plain, well, one that I'm most impressed with, to be perfectly honest,
yes.
which I think is the advanced one. Am I right? It's a very fancy stitch that you've done. It's like a square of knitting.
Yes.
Have you done that? It's
well,
actually quite good.
Shall I tell you what? It's the Andalusian stitch.
Never.
From Andalusia. Yes.
Bloody hell, Jenny.
I've gone a bit advanced this week. Mm. I've been able to do Andalusian stitch for a while. It's actually all you need to be able to do the Andalusian stitch, which is a highly effective pattern when you get going, is knitting and purling. That's all you have to do. It's
right.
just a sequence of stitches. But the other examples I have for you are what they call mitered squares.
Mitered squares. So they're different colours.
Did you know they're mitered squares? Did you know that's what they were?
Not really.
No, you're not as advanced with me with your knitting,
are you? No, you've overtaken me. You've really overtaken me,
You see, what you can do is you can make patterns out of the mitered squares.
What, in bright orange and bright turquoise?
Yes.
But wait a minute. So who's taught you to do, well, first of all, the Andalusian stitch or whatever it's called?
I have learned everything I know from YouTube.
Is that what you've done? You've learned that on the YouTube?
Yes, the Andalusian stitch and the mitered square.
I mean, I have to say, I'm just wondering what it says about sort of what's been going on in your life recently that you've produced these things. But it sort of coincided, if I'm not mistaken, with a huge literary deadline that you've been battling with.
This is entirely true. Shall I tell you what's happened to me, Judy?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, worryingly, honestly. I sat down last July to write a book.
Yeah.
I haven't got up since.
It's
I have
right,
barely got up out of that chair in my study. I've probably done about 30,000 steps since last July. genuinely, I have got no fitness whatsoever. I have got the muscle tone now of the jellyfish. I walk downstairs. I have a sit down halfway down the stairs.
But why?
I need
so why have
some
you been so
release.
Much knitting? Oh, I see.
So
this is,
at
this
the end of the day, when I should be going to the gym
yes.
or I should be going for a swim,
well, yes.
but I can't because of my dry eye, I have to have some release. And knitting has given me some form of release.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And also, it's the only way you can carry an offensive weapon on a bus. You're allowed to carry needles. They can't stop you.
So are you knitting sitting down by any chance?
Oh, I'm not standing up.
You
knitting
are,
on a treadmill.
So that's more sitting down, Jenny.
I know. Okay. Last thing that I'm going to defend myself with.
Okay.
I didn't sit down. Well, I did. It was a form of exercise I did sitting down yesterday. That this is how unfit I am, right? This is awful, right? I was walking down to the opticians yesterday,
yes.
and it was a beautiful day.
It was lovely yesterday,
wasn't it?
Oh, yeah,
a heart gladdening day.
Mm.
And I found myself quite near my sisters, and I thought, I might pop by our Sarah Sue. She's in for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Just a bit above her house on the hill down to her, because we live on the same road, but I'm at the top, she's at the bottom.
Okay.
And there was a bike parked up. A lime green bike. And I thought...
You didn't steal it, did you?
No, but nearly. I thought, I can get on that bike and cycle, save my bus fare and go to the opticians on this bike. Because it was one of those ones where you have to download an app.
Oh, yeah.
And then you scan the little barcode that's on the bike.
Yes.
It's on those city hire
bikes. Oh, one of those little hire bikes that people leave everywhere. Oh, I've seen them.
You can leave anywhere. It's a dockless one. You don't have to find a dock.
Wow.
So this is the marvellous thing, because the only trouble with those bikes before that you hire, then you take out of a dock and then you sort of 20 minutes later, you're puking up and thinking, I can't be doing this bike anymore.
Get back to a dock.
I've got to find a dock. Where's the nearest dock? Well, these are dockless. Yes. Leave it anywhere. But they say be socially minded, etc. So anyway, I download this.
You did this on the side of the road?
On the side of the road, on the pavement.
I'm very impressed.
Do you know,
I'm really impressed.
Well, I gave myself a round of applause. There was no one else. Well done. Well done. Downloaded an app and I scanned the barcode on the bike. Yeah. Click, it clicked like
worked.
That. It released the bike.
I'm very, very impressed.
And I got on the bike and I sailed off, Julie.
Well, wait a minute, you're going down the hill. You just said, told me you were going
down
the hill.
Yes, I
sailed. You were just sitting on it, really.
Yes, and I went through Camberwell Green. You know that's not easy on a bike, and I had no helmet on. It wasn't the most sensible thing in this. Yeah. The bike routes stop and start. You know, there's a bike route for a bit, then there isn't one. Yeah. And then, ooh, a big 176 bus. Ooh, a number 40. Ooh, God, I'm right in the middle of it. What do I do? I know, and I became, obviously, the worst cyclist in the world.
I can't imagine that,
I thought I was great. I was doing stupid things. I went through a red light. Accidentally, awful. Yeah, oh, I know.
Jenny.
Anyway, I thought, well, this is marvellous. And, you know, I wasn't out of puff, not for a second.
Well, you're going downhill.
Well, no, at this point, I'm on the flat now.
Oh, right.
I'm on the Walworth Road. Now, how long is the Walworth Road? Okay. You've been on that. That's when I took you on that bus ride and you got giddy.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
All the way down the Walworth Road to the opticians.
Well done.
And then I thought, well, I don't know how to lock it. And I don't want to lock it because they'll start charging me again. So I knocked on the door of the opticians. Will you let me bring my bike in? Like it was my bike. Yes, all right, they said. So I got the bike in. I picked up the glasses and I turned around. God. I cycled back to the bottom of my hill.
I was going to say, so you didn't go up the hill.
Don't be ridiculous.
You could have done.
Locked it up. And then I sort of, you know, had the app. And I thought, well, I saved myself some bus fare. And it said, you know, when I was hiring, only £1. I looked how much it cost me.
Yeah.
£5.65.
For how long?
But I hadn't cycled a kilometre. I'd done 0.7 of a kilometre. I'd done 30 minutes, and that's with 10 minutes in the...
Well, that's quite expensive, isn't it?
It was hugely expensive. Do you know why?
Why?
It was an electric bike.
And you hadn't noticed?
I had no idea. That's why I wasn't huffing, puffing and being sick.
Oh, I see.
Honestly, I cycled like the wind, Judy. And I was thinking, well, I've sat down now... Yeah. For 6 months over since July. Haven't done a stroke of exercise. Yeah, yeah. But look at me. Yeah. Overtaking young men on their bikes. Overtaking the number 40, 176. Yeah. Oi, fuck off. I've overtaken you. Yeah?
Yeah. And now your balloon's well and truly burst, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
£5.65 as well. It's a lot of money.
So do you think you could get into cycling? Is it giving you a taste?
Only if somebody gave me an electric bike.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I can see why people like them.
Listen, before we've got guests today. Alden Wide, we're always very thrilled to have guests. And we've got some guests coming in today. And we're really thrilled to be seeing them, chatting to them, catching up. And because I haven't seen Enter the Dragon.
No, I haven't either. But they've got a fantastic reputation. I don't know why we haven't seen them. We need to see them.
They're coming in.
Yeah,
they've been summoned.
No. Yes, they have, haven't they?
They've been summoned to the cupboard.
But we need to see their show called Enter the Dragon, which is all about old witches like us. Literally.
It's a sort of 50-plus double act. It's a double act called Enter the Dragons. Are they Brighton-based?
I think they're Brighton-based. They're very beautiful, the two of them, and obviously they're into the theatre.
Reviews have said, imagine the Mighty Boosh for the over-50s female. And I think that's a very big tick.
That's
very,
a massive very great tick. Well, actually, it's imagine the Mighty Boosh takes over the WI even better, you see.
That's a really good quote. I might nick that quote and put it on my own posters.
And they also got a very good line, I noticed, because they said this show is aimed for anybody who's considering ageing. I thought that was really quite smart.
Yeah, we've got a choice. Yeah, I like it.
We've got a choice.
Yeah, I like them. Do you know what? Some people like us. We've got emails. And you can email us at olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Do you want to read the first one from Lizzie?
Yes, it says, dear ladies.
Don't start at the top. She waffles on for ages.
Spookily, I was condoing my smalls, as like everybody else is, as I listen today. I avoid high stools too, as the blood rushes to your feet and they dangle, ! Yeah, I know what she means. I'm 5'2", another !
Tiny, tiny little thing.
I died of shame as one of my sons had to help me up onto one in the busy pub. Anyway, please carry on from your cupboard, as it is a delight to listen to you on my Friday off as an infant teacher. I will spread the word. That's nice, isn't it?
Thank you, Lizzie. I've got great visions of her as well, with her son hoisting her onto her bar stool.
Yes.
I've got another one here as well. Dear Jenny, this is a short one. Dear Jenny and Judith, I discovered your podcast. Just brilliant. I'm 58 and enjoying the episodes. That's Pippa Cotton.
What a nice straight name, Pippa Cotton.
Isn't it lovely? It just rolls off that Pippa top.
Yeah. Oh. It doesn't Cotton. Roll off that easily, does it?
But that's just straight to the point. And apparently, Daisy said we got an email from... We got a few blank emails. God bless you. God, this is such our audience, isn't it? I'm going to email the girls. That's what I'm going to do. What am I doing? Where is I? What's that? What have I pressed? Oh, God, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Yes, you've emailed us, but you haven't said anything.
Got three of those.
Got three of those. And we got another one from a bloke.
Yeah, she just added that. Daisy just added that as a sort of tiny postscript, as if, you know, yeah, well, whatever. With his phone number. With his phone number.
Do you know what we should do live on this podcast? We should phone him.
Oh, no. My God! Oh, Jenny! Do you think we should?
No, you then went like a 12-year-old girl.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you might have wet yourself. Anyway, we have had a nice chat. We're going to hand over to our guests in just a minute. They are coming in. So I think what we'll do is we'll have a nut and raisin break.
Are we allowed to have our nuts and raisins now? I think I might have half of them now because I've still got bits
You've been
to
quite
do.
A good
and
girl.
Can you have your mitered squares back, please? I really don't want them.
I don't know. Why would you say that?
Sorry. Just...
I think you better play the music, Daisy.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
We have guests, Judith and I have guests. We have invited a comedy duo into our stinking fetid little cupboard and they've arrived. We can't quite believe it because they've come all the way from Brighton. We have, I'm going to call you A&E Comedy, or is that annoying?
No, that's our name, so that's absolutely fine. We've been called worse.
Okay, so the A&E Comedy stands for, I'm going to guess here, is it, well... No, you tell me, because you know.
Well, it's not terribly difficult because she's called Abigail and I'm called Emma, so it's literally our initials.
Judith and I were expecting something a bit more imaginative.
No, but it's clever, isn't it? I like what they've done there. I really do. It's clever.
Just like that.
Yeah, but also accidents and emergencies,
yes.
They are
like
the stuff of comedy.
Quite.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to just say what I know about you two and how you came to my attention. Last Edinburgh, I always sort of sniff around the social media around Edinburgh. I haven't been up for a number of years, but I snip around the social media while the festival's on. I sort of like, you know, have my antennae out for who's making waves and who's doing good work. And I said, your name started to crop up with a show called Enter the Dragons. Now, what is Enter the Dragons? Are you still touring it or what's happening?
Well, yes, we are. We decided, I think the way it came about was we were getting very frustrated. We were behind the scenes writing for other people. And then we thought, hey, it'd be really good to write a piece about getting older for someone. And then we thought, well, why don't we do it? And the only way we were finding that to get our work done, probably find the same, is actually to make it.
Yeah.
Because people take one look at you. And we said, we want to do a sort of a bouffon clown take on ageing. And people were just blank faces. So we thought, right, let's put it on a stage.
You've already mentioned the C word. Not really sure you're allowed. But you are both professionally trained clowns. Now, tell me how that happens. How do you become?
Yes, can we just qualify as well? We have no red noses, no big shoes, no funny cars, all that malarkey. No. It's
but
not
surely
that
when you get your
clown
diploma, you get all those things.
Well, this is theatre clown. It's slightly different. It's not a circus clown. It's more about just being professional idiots, really, which we are highly qualified now to do.
Mm-hmm. But this is you both did the Gouillet. I didn't do French.
I thought there was cheese.
That sounds good.
Sometimes I have to take her out and I have to smack her. Have you heard of the Gouillet course?
No, I could pretend, but no is the honest truth.
Yeah, it's quite niche. It's niche.
Oh, good. Well, that's
French.
So slightly less stupid.
It's very niche. Broadly niche.
Right.
Yeah.
All I know of it is that you go and study in Paris. Yes.
Yes, or when we studied, he was in London. So it's London, and yes, he's now in Paris, but London back in the 1800s when we studied, yes.
And you train, and it's a really kind of hardcore training. I know people that have done it and had small nervous breakdowns over it because he is quite cruel, isn't he? He's the master, and he basically, if you're boring, he boos you off stage. Sorry, I dribbled at the thought.
I think there is a little bit of misunderstanding about his work. I think he's very truthful, and I think that
this
is often
Goulouard.
Philippe Goulouard. Yeah, he's very truthful, and he doesn't suffer fools, and that can sometimes, if people aren't willing to kind of be open enough to go, oh, okay, I'm not being funny now, I thought I was, it can come across as being rather cruel. But actually, you know, if you listen to what he says, this is how he will make you funny.
Well, the essence really of this kind of clown performance is being vulnerable, is being truthful, is being yourself, is being the kind of the part of you that your friends would take the piss out of. And it's finding that element of yourself. And it's when you become vulnerable and you show that, that's when suddenly you're bloody hilarious.
But I suppose, because the interesting thing is that you've used the word truth a lot, haven't you? Mm. And sort of authenticity. And maybe, you know, for something to be funny, it has to be true, doesn't it? You have to recognise the truth in it. And that, certainly what I've seen of your show is, it's fantastic. I wish I'd seen it live, Enter the Dragons. But yes, there's an authenticity about getting old and a truth there, which you've just gone like wild with.
Yeah, I mean, we are our sort of authentic and most vulnerable and most stupid selves on stage. But also the other thing that we use in the show is bouffon, which is the kind of the dark kind of clown. It's the kind of grotesque, the ugly, the hideous, the sort of the banished from society. Which
is that where all the props and the sort of ugly teeth come from, and the wigs and all that?
Yeah. And we felt that was a really perfect kind of technique for exploring what it is to be older, because we are the kind of the outcast, the ones that are on the margins of society, and we want to reclaim that and own our kind of cronedom and send it up
cronedom.
And take it with
and celebrate it.
Celebrate it.
I love the word cronedom. Mm. Yes, well, all four of us. Daisy's not involved. She's young. She's but we're in the crone years. It's a great. Let's reclaim our inner crone.
We love the crone.
Say what happened to you on the train this morning.
We were just talking about it actually, and we're saying yes, we really like. I'm really claiming this, and then we got on the tube, and it was a bit busy. And I was standing, and I clocked eyes with a girl. She was sort of early 20s, and she did. She mouthed, "Would you want to sit down?" And I did that looking around me thinking, is she me? And then I said to Emma, "I've got a big coat on. I think she thinks I'm pregnant." And then Emma went, not with the face, no. So then I said, then I had a quick look at priority seats. There's only three, isn't it? There's pregnant, carrying a child, or you're very old with a stick. And I thought, I can't fight it. I've tipped into that.
Yeah. Judith and I had one of those journeys into here once to do one of these podcasts, and we both got offered seats. Oh, it was like an appalling thing that happened. And you just, you have to be quite gracious about it. Because often if it's a young man or a young woman and you think, I can't actually knock this back because they might not do it again for anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sort of, that's how lovely, how charming of you. I obviously don't need it, but do you know what? I will. And I'll swap back if you look a bit tired and if you stop time.
I think, I've gone a bit further than that now. I think I start to look a bit sort of bedraggled and exhausted in the hope that I am going to get a seat.
These days, if I get on and a young man doesn't offer me his seat, I sit on his knee.
That would do it, wouldn't it?
I'm going to start like tapping a young man with my umbrella and saying, "Move, young man."
Yes. I think. Well, back to your show. So Edinburgh 2018 was when you premiered Enter the Dragons. Did you know it was going to take off? Did you know it was going to be a hit?
Well, we had actually, we'd done it the year before at Brighton Fringe. Yeah. That was the very first outing. And then we really didn't know what we had. We live in Brighton. We thought we'd do it in Brighton. We'll see what happens. And then all our friends were coming and we were utterly terrified. But it went down a storm. We won the best show in the Fringe. And we were like,
yay.
What?
Yes.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, we got far too drunk at the evening, and we were also up for best poster. And we thought, that'll be good. That's not a bad start, best poster for a show. And so we decided the cocktails were flowing, and we absolutely didn't know what we were going up for until we sat down, did we? And then they announced it, and we were very, very drunk.
And the show is it an amalgamation of sketches? There's some song in there. You play the accordion, don't you, Emma?
Abigail plays the accordion.
Well, you see, I can't, because you have lots of wigs
Yes.
Doing the clips of the shows we've seen on the YouTube and on the computer. Yeah. So it's costume heavy.
There are a lot of costumes, but it's not a sketch show. It's a narrative. It's a story. We decided to base the show as a classical mythological quest, reframed from the attitude of an older woman. So it's our protagonist, as we call her, goes on this quest to see if she can kind of defeat Kronos, the god of time.
So it's like
a proper Greek myth. Yeah. We wanted to make something really epic and vast and sort of timeless.
Lovely.
But obviously we're also very stupid. So within that mythological quest, we journey across the Sea of Apology. We meet our mentor, who's a cross between Jermaine Greer, Dolly Parton and Iris Apfel. We get guided by kind of weird sisters who are the seers, who can kind of tell the future as long as they've got access to Siri. We meet some kind of terrifying doctors who are plastic surgeons at the Laboratoire Fontaine de Jeunesse. So it's a very bizarre mythological quest, but we've stuck very solidly to the mythic journey storyline.
So it's a combination. There's a lot of writing in there, but there's also a lot of performance in there.
Yes.
Which is, I think more and more we're seeing women in comedy stepping away from the very traditional standing behind a microphone, sort of doing jokes. Because actually, jokes are great. Jokes are, don't get me wrong, I love a joke and I love a punchline. But there are lots of other ways for women to be funny. And I think that sort of naturally, I'm seeing a lot of performance art in comedy now that I think 10 years ago wasn't quite so seen.
Although it was about getting older and our experiences as older women, we wanted to make something that had really broad appeal, that was really properly funny, and that wasn't just, it was designed that everybody who came to see it would just have a really good time and it would be really stupid and really ridiculous. And two older women being funny and being stupid and wearing stupid false teeth and a load of wigs, that's our start. That's what we like to see.
It's fantastic.
And we just felt like we weren't seeing anybody of our age doing that kind of material.
I love the way you put it. I think you describe it as the Mighty Boosh meets the WI.
Yeah.
Or takes over the WI.
That's right.
How good a line is that?
Yeah. Well, it is the best
word. We should
have
thought of that. It's ridiculous.
We
might borrow it.
Yeah.
So what's next? You've got a new show coming up for Edinburgh this year.
Yes, our new show, Think Vic and Bob Do the Crucible.
Oh, we're liking it.
It's called Witch Hunt.
Okay.
And we are going to, using witchcraft, take down the patriarchy in 60 seconds. 60 minutes, not seconds. In an hour.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
Where are you on the writing front with this?
Early-ish days. Yeah. We know what we want to say. We've still got to write the spells.
Because when it comes to the writing thing together, because Judith and I have done quite a lot of writing, we don't ever write in the same room. How do you do it?
We do write in the same room. We get big pieces of paper and big pens.
Oh, stationery, very important.
We like a stationery.
Dance around, put some music on,
do
and we
you?
Ask a question, or
do
we
you?
Ask. Yeah, we do. We move about a lot, and then we'll sort of brainstorm, but moving around. And then we'll kind of distill everything that we've kind of written down, that we've written down separately, and then we'll pick it apart. And then we'll decide, we'll plot our kind of narrative and think about where we're going with each scene, and then think, how are we going to do that? Where does this scene need to go? And then we'll improvise. We do a lot of stuff on our
Do you take yourself when you improvise?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I think when we started writing, we weren't performing, so
Were you writing for?
Well, we were writing for ourselves. We were writing sitcoms. We entered a very big sitcom competition, and which we eventually won, which was a bit mad and crazy because that was our first sort of outing. And as purely as writers on that, we did get up a lot in the room together and act out scenes. I think it's the performer in us wouldn't die.
Yeah. And with Witch Hunt, are you sort of saying that? I mean, I'm really interested that it's a kind of positive way of using witches' powers.
Yeah.
I mean, are you saying, as I think you might be saying, that as you
witches
get older,
are good.
Yeah, because I think witches
are
all witches, really,
absolutely,
aren't we?
You know, yeah. Witches is just, you know, the suppressed, eccentric, voiceless at the moment. The part of you that you want to stick your head over the parapet and shout something out. And I think we all have a bit of witchiness, male and female. And I think we all need to kind of collectively bring them out and use that power for good.
But I think sort of in the old days, you know, women who weren't married, the spinster
That's
witch,
it.
All
yeah.
those kind of thing, who, you know, had a cat. Ooh,
yes.
Witch. music is a big part of. I think the big song in the last show is the Fuck It song.
Yes.
Which is, what do you tell us about the Fuck It song?
The Fuck It song came about because we were getting fed up with bucket lists that people were writing down everywhere and never doing, and you never really want to go, you know, yachting around the world, really, you know, and you've got this ridiculous list. And we said, actually, more importantly, is the list that you're never going to either do or do again. So it, the song came out of just writing that list of all the things that we never want to do again. Or have never had any plans to do them in the first place.
Remind me what some of those are.
What do we have on there?
Golf, playing golf is one of them.
Yeah, that's a bit, you get a big tick from me.
Yeah, tolerating twats, I think, comes in nicely.
Not doing that anymore. Doing
I bet you're not bungee jumping either,
not
are you?
Not bungee jumping. We're not cycling around Norway. There's just a few things we just thought.
Oh,
not
now, do you see, Judith would cycle around Norway.
Yeah,
given half a chance, she would.
Yeah.
Anything
baking,
to cheese.
Mindfulness.
No. No, I'm into mindlessness.
Yes,
I am. You know, there's something that Bob Mortimer said on Desert Island Discs about fishing, the utter mindlessness of fishing. And I remember sort of listening to this and thinking, that's everybody. We don't need mindfulness. We need mindlessness.
Absolutely. It's a much better way of putting it.
It is
quite right.
Absolutely. Mm. Just stop. So go on. Where are you going to be at in Edinburgh this year, by the way?
We're back at the Pleasance.
Oh,
we're back
nice.
at Jackdaw where we were last year. So we're doing Witch Hunt. We're opening it in Brighton Fringe in May, and then we're going to be the whole of Edinburgh. The whole of August we're going to be in Edinburgh, and then we're touring Enter the Dragons again in November.
Oh, I definitely want to come and see.
So
it.
Do yes. come. Yeah.
Will you have any London dates?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Nothing in the diary yet. I'm not sure. Somebody else is doing that bit.
Okay.
But do definitely.
And do you feel slightly under pressure with this second show?
Yeah. It's a difficult second album, isn't it? You know, we're looking at the drummer's ideas. Yeah, that sounds good. Put it on. Yeah, it's worrying. We've got, people are really waiting to see what we're going to do next. So there is that slight pressure of selling a show. But you haven't made it yet. And we've got all the images out there and they're very strong and people that, you know. So, yeah, there's that pressure we didn't have with the first show. But I think what we've got, actually, is confidence this time around.
And much more experience.
Much more experience. And we know what we were doing.
Have either of you performed solo before?
No. We've always been very collaborative performers and
is there a chief
creative.
Witch? Is there a senior witch?
I like to
you?
Think it's me.
No, it's
right.
me.
They both moved in like a
sort of. I saw that.
Terrifying.
It's definitely me. It's definitely
me. How do you get on? Or do you sometimes have to get away from each other?
We get on all right, don't we?
We do. We often people say that when you're a comedy duo, they say, yeah, but you know, what's it like backstage? Are you at each other's throats? And I think we like each other. And that's it's a bit different from a male duo, I think. We're not so competitive, maybe. We're quite collaborative. We quite like each other's being friends.
We do make each other laugh. We are friends. Yes, we can say we're friends now.
Can we say that now?
Listen, it's really been a joy to talk to you. We do wish you all the very best. And we are quite serious about wanting to come see the show.
Please do.
You have piqued our interest.
Ooh. Can we leave you with a gift?
Oh, yes,
gifting
please.
Them.
It's a badge. I like
this
a badge.
This is from the Enter the Dragons. We gave these out at the end of the show.
Do you know what they say?
Fuck it. Marvellous
Fuck
badge.
It. I'm going to wear this
marvellous
badge with pride. I'm getting a nice collection. I went to see Sarah Millican. She had badges at the end and one just said no.
Did it?
Yeah. Because you know, we're all meant to say yes to
brilliant.
Everything and all that kind of thing.
Brilliant.
No. Yeah. Just say no. No, I'm not doing anything. Are you going to the gym? No. Not doing no.
Yeah.
And now I've got a no and a fuck it.
Yes.
Wear them on each breast.
Each tit. It has been an utter joy. Thank you very, very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thanks
indeed.
So much for having us.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.